Right, we're in Hebrews chapter 9, okay, and we're continuing on, okay, and regarding some of the things, the tools and articles which the Apostle Paul was making references to, and regarding the first covenant. Okay, the Apostle Paul went into somewhat detail here, but could not for, you know, go in the extent of it as we are at this present time. So turn your Bibles also to Exodus chapter 25. Okay, but as you turn to Exodus 25, keep your finger right here in Hebrews chapter 9. Reading over Hebrews chapter 9, we'll see, and regarding these things, okay, with verse 1 again. Then really the first covenant has had also divine, or ordinances of divine service. So make sure you highlight the word divine there, because we'll be speaking about that. And a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was a candlestick, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant overlaid, run about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, rest of verse 5, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Okay, now in Exodus 25, we can pick up, okay, in regard to where the Apostle Paul left off here, okay, and getting in more detail, expounding on this. Okay, so turn to Exodus chapter 25. Now last week, we read Exodus chapter 24, and regarding how Moses received this revelation, okay, that the revelation which Moses received, it was not by a general consensus. And that is, everyone did not contribute to the revelation for the direction or pattern. Okay, the direction or pattern was given through one stewardship. But the contribution was made after the revelation was given. Okay, we're going to see that the children of Israel contributed to the whole. Okay, they contributed gold and silver, as we read in chapter 25. Okay, now the Lord spoke unto Moses. Now we're in verse 1. Okay, now again, this was not a general consensus, okay, on what to believe, okay, but the contributing to the whole. Now, through this revelation, in chapter 25, we're going to see over 500 different revelations, okay, were given to Moses at this time. So here, the Spirit of the Lord is now unfolding to Moses this knowledge. That's why Jesus is called the Word of God. Because a knowledge is going to come forth from him, and coming forth from him, it was going to be granted to us to reciprocate with. So Jesus was called the Word of God. Now Moses is receiving this word, this knowledge, to communicate to the children of Israel. So he's going to communicate to them these things. Speak to the children of Israel, verse 2. Okay, speak to the children of Israel, which is the seed of those of the Spirit. Okay, those which are born of the Spirit, those which are of faith, okay, that they bring unto me an offering. Okay, so here they're going to contribute to the revelation of Moses, the steward of the fourth week, okay, of every man. Now we're going to see after the stewardship which Moses received, that God raised up judges to lend support to that. We can see the same thing through the fourth week, the fifth week, and the first eighth week. Okay, that God raised up Jesus as the steward and the key from the fifth week to the first eighth week. And we can see that during the time of the sixth week, okay, that there were judges that God initiated for that period of time to keep the people in mind of the truth of the gospel. Okay, now that sixth week has concluded, and God again has selected a steward to bridge that from the sixth week to the second eighth week. Okay, and with this key, okay, as with Moses, okay, the Lord again is establishing, okay, and reiterating, okay, these tools, these elements. So speak to the children of Israel that they bring an offering of every man that gives it willingly, okay, that is willingly with his heart, being that of faith. Okay, you shall take an offering, or take my offering, the Lord says, and that's what we do in our level one sacrifices. Okay, the offerings which we give is God's offerings. Okay, verse 3, and this is your offering, Now these are the items which everyone will contribute to the whole. Now we're going to see the portions here, okay, and we'll add these things up. Now we're going to see some very interesting things. Okay, as we add these percentages, okay, and what they represent. Now this is the offering. These items will everyone will contribute to the whole. Okay, you shall take of them gold and silver and brass. Now, the gold and silver and brass wasn't for the purpose of Moses enriching himself to construct a palace, okay, in his own name for his own record. Now we can see here in the book of Proverbs where Solomon says, wisdom is building her house. We can see wisdom here. Now wisdom constructs, it builds. Okay, so wisdom is building her house, but the foolish want to take ownership of it. We can see that in every week the foolish wanted to remove the elements and take ownership of those elements. And we can see this preached from the pulpit through the time of the sixth week. Okay, that certain elements as faith or prosperity or health, wealth, okay, these were items which were preached from the pulpit, okay, which shows that they were taking ownership of these elements. So instead of contributing the elements to that building of the house of God, these elements were preached for the purpose of individual ownership. Okay, and through individual ownership, there was no strength. Satan ruled over them. Now this is the offering which you shall take of them, okay, to construct the house. Now wisdom is showing direction here. Gold and silver and brass. Okay, so every token will possess equity for faith. But to possess equity for faith, it has to undergo a certain process, okay, in order to remove the impurities of it, okay, and to sanctify them. Okay, notice here in verse 4, the colors. So we see first gold, silver, and brass, that which is of fire, and blue and purple and scarlet, that which is of water. As we read through these things, we see fire and water. Okay, two important elements that are being united together in the name of Yahweh. Okay, now here we can see they're in the portions, they're individual, but in the book of Revelation we see these portions brought into his fullness, okay, back into his light. Okay, and also the construction of the holy city, okay, which is the mother of us all. Gold, silver, brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, and goat's hair. Now why was it that the Lord selected goat's hair? Because it was goat's hair that was put on Jacob's hands in order to receive the blessing. Okay, so here we can see goat's hair was identified for discernment. The Lord will give discernment to his people, they that serve him in the tabernacle, they that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and heart to understand. Okay, through these elements, so we see fire and water, okay, and we also see the contribution of goat's hair. Okay, but the goat's hair had to go through a certain process. In verse 5, we see ram skins dyed red. In other words, the beastly nature must be changed, okay, in order for it to serve God. Okay, so we have to be re-educated to serve God in his tabernacle, in his court. So the ram skin was dyed red. And why was it dyed red? It was dyed red because it was to show the sufferings of Christ and also the wrath of God. Okay, the beast must die in order for faith to reign. So verse 5, ram skins dyed red, okay, and badger skins. Now, of course, interesting about a badger, that is an unclean animal. Okay, but the unclean animal, okay, as the Gentiles, we're going to contribute to the house of God, Jew and Gentile. So the ram skins dyed red, and badger skins from shittim wood, okay, which also has to do with water and blood. Okay, water and blood. Blood had to be shed, and water also had to wash it. Okay, now this is the Apostle John brings out in 1 John chapter 5. Not by water only, but by water and blood, which is identifying the tabernacle of Christ, okay, and a new priesthood. Okay, ram skins dyed red. So the nature of the beast has to be changed in order for it to be sanctified in its service in the courts of the Lord. Ram skins dyed red. Or else, if it did not go through the alternation, for change, for regeneration, renewing in the mind, it would be considered as a transgression, and God would appoint his angels of wrath over it. Okay, so the ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood. Okay, that which is of fire, that which is of water. Now we can see also other elements here in verse 6. Oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense. Okay, we're going to see the how the spices were going to be put together. Okay, and the also the oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and sweet incense. The numbers 5 and 4. Okay, the numbers 5 and 4 equal 9, which has to do with not only the 9 gifts of the Spirit, but also 9 fruits of the Spirit. Okay, which will be involved in our priesthood. Okay, we can see that those of the false religious system will emphasize certain elements. Okay, concerning the gifts of the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit, not understanding that these things are found in your priesthood. In the priesthood, you possess these things. And this is what Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts. Okay, in other words, function within your priesthood and these things will be available for the profit of all the saints. Okay, healings as well as healing the inner man, healing in the outer man. Okay, but you need knowledge for this. Okay, so you have oil for the light. Knowledge is necessary for these things. Now, when you, in the false religious system, we see many authors, okay, pinning volumes of books trying to understand how is it that we're covered after spiritual gifts. Okay, they're coveting after spiritual gifts are outside the priesthood. The gifts of the Spirit are in your priesthood. Okay, the fruit, if the fruit of the Spirit is within your priesthood, then the gifts of the Spirit within your priesthood, not separate from it. Okay, but those which are outside of the covenant, not understanding these things, isolate them. So instead of contributing to the building the house of God, the foolish are plucking it down with their hands. Okay, they're taking ownership of it. They're using it for the purpose of advancing themselves. Okay, that's the false stewardship. So the true stewardship gives direction. Okay, and providing this direction, okay, there's a contribution to building one house. So the blue, the purple, scarlet, the fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense. Now look what else is to be contributed here. Onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod. Interesting that the Lord identifies the onyx stone, okay, which is the stone in the unknown. Okay, which the unknown has to do with a mystery. The mystery has to do with how God is going to unite these things together in himself. Okay, now the revelation of the Apostle John shows how the uniting together is going to come to its conclusion in the Holy City. In the Holy City, New Jerusalem. Okay, the Lord there, as John witnessed, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light of it, and the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Okay, this is the point of entrance. Okay, so we possess these elements within our priesthood, which gives us a right to enter into the house of God, into the temple, into the holy city. Okay, that our names are indeed written in the Lamb's Book of Life through your priesthood. Because on the onyx stones also was inscribed the names of the tribes. Okay, as also the Lord will give us a stone, okay, with your name inscribed on it, a new name and a secret name, okay, which provides that right. The right of entry. Okay, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod. We'll talk more about that as the Apostle Paul brings out in Hebrews 9. Okay, and in a breastplate. In verse 8, let them make me. Now you notice that Moses himself was not going to initiate the whole thing. The revelation was given to him, okay, but everyone contributed, okay, to the temple. Onyx stones and stones to be set in ephod, the breastplate, and let them, as to construct, let them make me sanctuary, okay, a tent to dwell in. Now, we also have a tent for God to dwell in, which is in our soul. Okay, the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool, okay, as the prophet said. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or where is the place of my rest? Okay, where the place of his rest will be within our own soul. Okay, there we are preparing a habitation for the Lord. Okay, the habitation of the Lord is a place of his rest. And where the Lord dwells, there's also peace. Okay, so we enter into our rest by the peace of God. Okay, let's go on here. Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Okay, that is in this body, okay, that I will live in them in this particular form. When God came into the form of flesh. Okay, God came in this into this dimension, okay, in a form that was similar to our own. Okay, of all the tents that were constructed, okay, this tent was constructed by a divine pattern, okay, which shows that God came into this world. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Of course, by dwelling among us, he would sanctify us, and he would be our peace. He would rule us with peace and mercy. Okay, according to all, verse 9, now the government received this knowledge, according to all that I showed you. That which the Spirit revealed is what he was to preach. What the Spirit revealed is what he preached. Now the Apostle John, receiving the revelation, preached these things and shared these things with the other apostles, and they preached them to the people. And regarding this mystery, according to all that I showed you, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof. So we see government in verse 9 here, according to all that I showed you, as in government, after the pattern of the tabernacle, which is in truth, after the pattern of all the instruments, which is the work of the Spirit. Okay, thereof, even so shall you make it. Okay, if your faith is to be made perfect, it must be made perfect with these things which he's providing. And that's why the seal of the Spirit is necessary for us to worship God. Okay, in the seal of the Spirit. Now the Apostle Paul dedicated these chapters in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, and identified these particular elements, okay, and their proper uses, okay, for the priesthood. Okay, and that in chapter 12 we see is concerning the gifts. Okay, the gifts and the callings, of course, we see that in chapter 12. Okay, now in chapter 13 we see how this how these powers are distributed through charity. Okay, and that charity is identified and expressed with these things, this knowledge, okay, and prophecy and tongues. Okay, and then we see in chapter 14, okay, in regarding to be zealous with these things. Okay, to covet after these things and to be zealous of these things. Now we're going to see the zeal of this. Now in verse 10 here. Okay, we're in Exodus chapter 5, verse 10. Now, and they shall make an ark of shittim wood. Okay, this is the wood frame or the cross. Okay, that's why we're crucified with Christ. Okay, now that which is of the wood also springs from the soil, okay, which requires water. Now they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half. Now keep these numbers in mind or write them down. 2 cubits and a half should be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. Now if you add these all together, it's 5 and a half. Okay, we'll talk about that just in a moment here. Now, verse 11, you shall overlay it with pure gold. In other words, after the frame has been constructed, you shall cover its nakedness with that which is of the divine, okay, which represents the name of my Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus being of the wood, which was suffered on the cross, and Christ, which is that power, according to the resurrection. Okay, we live according to Christ Jesus. Okay, you shall overlay it with pure gold, okay, that which has been refined within the fire, which is another element refined in a fire, which works, which he says here, within. So highlight the word within there in verse 11, because we're talking about the work of regeneration. And without, we're talking about the renewing of the mind. In the soul and in the body, okay, within and without. Okay, the renewing of the mind is a direct result of this experience. Okay, renewing the mind isn't that which is of, like changing a perception. Okay, it is, but the perception that's being changed is a direct result of the work of the Spirit. Okay, that which God inscribes within you. And we're going to see this, what the things in the articles that are put within the ark. Okay, that which God inscribes within the mind and within the heart, okay, is a result of renewing of the mind. Okay, the perception changes by the pen of God. Okay, as the finger of God wrote on the tables of stone. Now, where did the stone come from? Okay, the stone came from water. Okay, water came from light and darkness. Okay, so we go right back from the very beginning. Okay, so from a portion of light and a portion of darkness came the waters. From the waters came the rock. Okay, and God took a portion of that rock and created the celestials. Okay, the angels of heaven. Okay, so we are very similar to the angels of heaven. Okay, but the angels were the rock and fire, but we with water and fire. Okay, that shows that there's similarity there, which the fallen watchers try to join together. Okay, and their efforts in order to to produce a seed for the internal inheritance, which God did not sanctify. That God would provide a sanctified seed to unite these together, which is Jesus Christ, okay, and not through the alchemy, okay, of the watchers, okay, which are still trying to resolve and unite today, up to this, even to this present day. Now you shall overlay it with pure gold. Now remember the gold, okay, these elements are from the soil. Okay, the soil came from rock. Okay, the rock came from waves. The waves came from light and darkness. That God created darkness, God created the light. Okay, so now we can see why the Lord had to redeem that which is a portion of Himself to complete it and fulfill it within Himself. Okay, so God communicated these things through the law of Moses. Okay, He showed us the portions and the discrepancies. Okay, that it was fruitless in regarding the conscience, which He would, of course, would heal when He would come in the form of the flesh. Now you shall overlay it with pure gold, because now fire refines the element, regeneration, and without, within and without, renewing the mind. Sure, you overlay it. So you're going to cover the nakedness of this frame, okay, with fire. Okay, as also, remember, Adam lost his light. When Adam lost his light, God had to put a new substance over the frame, okay, which was called skin. Now, skin is something like Play-Doh. Okay, and one thing about Play-Doh, you leave it out, it begins to crumble and crack. In other words, it's cursed with time. Okay, now God is going to have to provide a power. God would have to provide a power in order to sustain, in order to give this crumbling substance, okay, a makeover, to give it an eternal makeover. God is going to have to do something here, okay, in order to reverse the curse. Because when Adam lost his light, okay, God reversed that which God put upon him first in the first place. Okay, God put Adam in a form of light, but when Adam lost that light, God had to put something else over him. Now we see that once the frame was constructed, it was overlaid with pure gold. Okay, but that which defined Adam in the virtue of God, okay, was lost because of transgression. And God was going to have to restore that. Okay, so God gave certain tokens to Adam. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, okay, was given to our first father, Adam, that of the flesh. Okay, these tokens were tokens of promise. Okay, they were to stand as a proxy till that which is perfect would come, Jesus Christ, unto whom it was restored to the true king of this earth, the true king of the soil, okay, which is Jesus Christ. That's why God came in the form of the flesh, to reverse the curse in the flesh, which He put on it. Only He could reverse it. Now you shall overlay it with pure gold within and without, shall you overlay it, okay, to cover its nakedness of these waters, the nakedness of man. Okay, and shall make upon it a crown of gold. So highlight the word crown of gold there in verse 11, because that's the overcomer. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. Now a crown of gold, which is going to be put upon the edges of this frame, okay, represents those that overcome. Now this is a virtue and praise of His glory. This is what Paul brings out, okay, and like in Ephesians 1, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Okay, the grace of God brings us from lowness to greatness, from smallness to greatness, from lowness unto the throne. Okay, and you shall make upon it a crown of gold run about, which is the praise of His glory. Now, what's interesting about the numbers right here, you add these numbers up, it comes to 5.5. Now, 5.5, okay, shows a form of incompletion. Okay, and man is incomplete. Now, what was created on the fifth day? Okay, on the fifth day, the waters brought forth abundantly, okay, the fishes and the whales and the things which were in the waters. But He says 5.5, okay, which also brings us into the next day, okay, which shows the beasts of the earth. Okay, so we see the waters, okay, and that which comes of the soil, okay, which talks about the nature of man in these waters. Okay, a portion of the whole, 5.5. Now, also 5.5 represents this as considering the 5,500 years. So the 5.5, the construction of this ark, okay, as a 5.5, as the waters of man and his beastly nature, but the 5,500 years, after 5,500 years, man will be redeemed. Okay, so God put these measurements within the ark to communicate concerning the time when the Messiah would come, okay, to redeem man. But there's a mystery involved with this, okay? And we're going to see this as we read on. There's a mystery involved with this. So we see why the Lord selected the number 5 and the number and the 1/2, okay, and its construction, which would bring perfect equity. So everything that God created since the very beginning possessed the equity of the eye. Okay, when God created the heavens and the earth, he says, and he saw and that they were good. They possessed equity of the eye. And so the construction of the Ark of the Covenant would possess equity of the eye. And God saw that it was good. He sanctified it. We know he sanctified it because he sanctified it by fire. Okay, after everything was constructed, the chief steward of the house consented everything was put in its proper position, and God visited his tabernacle with fire. He's sanctifying it on the time of his dedication. Okay, as he breathed into Adam's lungs, and he became a living soul. Okay, God also breathed within the tabernacle of skin, and it became a living organism. Okay, the church is a living organism. Okay, it's not a dead piece of stone. Okay, the church is not a headstone. It's not just a stone. Okay, it's a living organism called a body. Okay. So in verse 11 again, and you shall overlay it with pure gold within and without. You shall overlay it with with gold to cover its nakedness, and shall make upon it a crown of gold run about. Okay. Now the number 4 also represents the number for healing. Okay. It's not numerology. Okay. But God did select things of this construction. Okay. With these particular numbers in mind. Okay. To teach us. Okay, and to show us the similarities. Okay, to fulfill his word. All right. So in verse 12, and you shall cast 4 rings of gold for it. Now, why did he say 4 rings? Because we are servants of Christ. Now, the ring represents a slave ring. Okay, the slave rings would be put within the 4 corners of it. Okay, there's perfect equity. Okay, we are servants of Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul made references to this himself, where he says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ, which means I've been joined to the altar. Okay, we are also joined to the altar. We are joined to the ark. You should cast 4 rings for it, for that is for your healing. 4 rings of gold, which is to hear the word of God. 4 rings of gold. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Where we see 4 rings of gold put in the 4 corners of the ark so that those which would hear, okay, would be saved. You should put 4 rings of gold for it and put them in the 4 corners thereof and 2 rings. Okay, now the rings also mean a divine link. That this represents that Jesus is the link of this tether. All these things are links. Every element is a link. You keep the tether strong through the links which he sanctified to express them with. Charity is a link. Faith is a link. All the elements are links. Every element possesses equity. Okay? Every element, though individually, is powerless, but when it's joined together, it's strong. Okay? And it possesses perfect equity. Okay? As all the elements of the gospel put within the altar of our faith. Okay? Which shows its proclitic value and its systemic value. How it stands individually and yet works together. And we do the same thing. Individually, we have an individual priesthood, but we all contribute to one altar, Jesus Christ. 2 rings, you be in one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. Now, why is he identifying the sides? Because this is where Jesus was pierced. Okay, we see this also in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus was pierced in the side. Okay, and John 19:34, Jesus was pierced in the side. Okay, and out forthwith came out water and blood. Okay, a new priesthood was born from this piercing. Okay, and we are that new priesthood, blood and water. You shall put the staves, the poles of the staves here. Okay, you should put them in the sides of it. 2 rings should be in the one side of it, 2 rings in the other side of it. Okay, this is a tether us to Christ, being a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, you shall make the rod, the staff. Now remember, this is what Psalms 23 talks about. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Okay, these are the poles which are put into the rings, which are located in the sides of the corners of the ark. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Okay, we have peace and mercy through the tools. Okay, and through these things, he nurtures us and chastens us. You notice that these things, we carry our security. Our peace and security is in our labor. Our peace and security is our labor. That when we carry him, okay, when we bear him, okay, we have peace. Those that bear the name of the Lord have peace with him. Okay, we are carrying the ark on our shoulder. You shall make staves, the rod and thy staff, to nurture and to chasten, okay, of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. Okay, its properties, its original properties are weak, but you're going to overlay them with gold, which is strength. The Lord is my strength. Okay, so though in our flesh we are weak, yet by the Lord we are strong. And this is the Apostle Paul says the same thing. When I'm weak, then am I strong. Okay, I'm weak in my aspiration because I'm strong in my faith. So you have replaced your aspiration with faith, you replace your principle with truth, and you replace covetousness with the moderation and temperance of the Spirit. Okay, these are the things in the articles which are put inside the ark, which shows the work of regeneration. Okay, you shall make the, so you make them, the rod and thy staff, you overlay the weakness with strength. Okay, the divine, which again is the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the name that was given to the body. Okay, that Mary bore, the Virgin Mary bore this body which came forth from her virgin womb. Okay, the name was given by that angel. His name should be called Jesus, meaning Emmanuel, or God with us. Okay, and his name was Jesus Christ. Okay, which shows the wood. So Jesus, the name Jesus is with the wood, okay, and Christ is with the gold. So we see the fire and the water, the gold and the wood. Fire and water, gold and wood. Okay, and this is what Jesus prayed, that they may be one, even as you, Father, me and I and you, that they also may be one in us. Okay, see the word one there again. United, that we become strong. Okay, the wood in itself is weak, okay, and it dies with age, but overlaying it with the eternal gold. Okay, it's sustained by the gold. The gold covers its nakedness, okay, as says in Revelation. Okay, I would you buy me of gold. Okay, remember Revelation chapter 3, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea. The Laodiceans were very weak in their priesthood. He says, but thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind naked. That's the wood. Okay, so he says, buy of me gold, try in the fire that you may be rich. Buy of me gold, try in the fire that you may be rich. And this is the gold that's been put through the fire. Okay, purified, remove it, the impurities are removed through the fire. And this is what God is doing with us in the work of regeneration. So we see fire and water, gold and wood equals one. We also see the divine and man, Christ Jesus. Okay, the divine and man, Christ Jesus. Okay, the gold, the crown gold around the on the Ark of the Covenant also is symbolized of our authority. Okay, that by faith we have power. Okay, we rule by faith. We overcome by faith. Okay, well, let's go on here. In round verse 14. Now, this is the yoke and burden of the covenant. Okay, the yoke and burden of our covenant is to endure unto the end. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Okay, those that carry on these elements, those that bear and carry these elements of your priesthood will be saved. But those that cast off the responsibility of the priesthood will die in your sins. Because you have to have something, you have to have a token to express Christ with. Okay, and the first token God gave to us, okay, in his grace is the speaking in tongues. Okay, and then not only the speaking in tongues, but even prophecy. Okay, so that we can edify one another. Okay, as in chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, begins to reveal the differences between the two, but both are necessary. Okay, for the edification of yourself and the building of the body of Christ. For he that speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Here's your priesthood again. Your individual priesthood for self-edification, so that when you come into your presence of the assembly, you're already clothed in your priestly vestment so that you can contribute, not steal. You should put the staves and the rings by the sides of the ark as Jesus' side was pierced to release our new priesthood. Okay, and to seal it by his resurrection. that the ark, the government, the truth, and the spirit may be born with them, these two poles. Verse 15. Okay, the staves, now verse 15, the staves shall be put in the rings of the ark, okay, which shows this is your, we are servants of Christ, we are slaves of the kingdom of God. Okay, but not in a form of injustice. Okay, not slaves of injustice, okay, or oppression, okay, but slaves of His grace. Okay, being slaves of His grace, we are free to serve Him in righteousness. Okay, but if we're not slaves of His grace, we're not free to serve Him as righteousness, then we're slaves of iniquity, being freed from His righteousness. We want to be freed from the oppression of this world. We want to be freed from Satan's oppression through ignorance and be joined to God through the knowledge of Christ. So the poles and the staves there should be put in the rings in the ark. They should not be removed from it or taken from them. Okay, but these because the ark is our record, okay, which we always be mindful of. Be mindful of these things, as Paul told Timothy. Okay, and regarding meditate upon these things. Okay, now form of meditation is as to chew and to think about it. Okay, you don't just chew and swallow, but you can say the knowledge of God is like bubble gum. Okay, and so you're chewing it in order to extract from it, okay, everything that's necessary, you know, for your pleasure. Okay, we're extracting everything from the knowledge of God as a cow chews the cud. We're extracting from that all the nutriments for our faith. That's what expounding is doing, extracting the nutriments for your faith. Okay, or like a liquid fire. Okay, where you put whole vegetables in it and it liquefies them so that you can drink them. Right, now you shall put into the ark of the testimony. Now this is another interesting word. So highlight the word testimony there in verse 16. Okay, that which you're carrying is the history and memorial of God. And by this testimonial and this declaration, our conscience stands in God's perspective. Do not stand before God without His perspective. Okay, because we have the mind of Christ. We carry the conscience of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, without the conscience of God, we are guilty before Him, because your conscience, okay, is as a pen writing all, is documenting everything of your life, everything that you think, everything that you hear, everything that you do, is documented by the pen of the conscience. Okay, now if you want that documentation to stand as your memorial of your labor in this dimension, then you're as guilty before God. You are transgressing against Him because it doesn't represent God. Okay, but now, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, but you have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? Okay, he brings that out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay, regarding the natural man, right, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. The tokens of the Spirit are foolish to the natural man because it doesn't stand in the strength of his aspiration. It doesn't substantiate or confirm his principle. Okay, because the spiritual things are foolishness, okay, with man. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, because it doesn't direct the heart within in the terms of the covenant. It always directs the heart away from it. Okay, when it directs the heart away from the covenant, you become children of wrath. Okay, but the wisdom of God always directs us within the priesthood so that we're children of mercy. Okay, so the ark of God carried the vessels of mercy. The tokens of mercy are in the ark, which we bear. Okay, we bear these things in the priesthood. God qualifies us through Jesus Christ to bear these things so that our conscience is pure and undefiled. As long as the church and the false religious system bears the defiled conscience, which is evil, because they're trying to rectify the evil conscience by the tokens of this world. The psychology of this world is trying to rectify and to resolve and to correct the thinking of man. So instead of coming in contact with God, who is holy, okay, they come in contact with the knowledge of this world, which is contaminated and unclean. So they can't be holy as God is holy. They're trying to put on holiness, okay, by the garments that are defiled. Okay, but God says, to be holy as I am holy, you must touch the things that are perfect, which is me. So be you holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. How can I be holy as God is holy? By touching the tokens which God has sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. And He's empowered it by His resurrection. We live by the power of resurrection because we have put off the old garments, the old man, and put on Christ. Okay, the new priestly vestments of this covenant. Okay, so in verse 16, the testimony, I like the word testimony there in verse 16, because this is the true memorial. Our origin is the throne now. Our origin is no longer the fall of Adam. Our origin is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's why we come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What is the time of need? Now. Now is your time of need in your priesthood. You need the element of grace to be exercising itself with your faith, with this knowledge, so that you can edify, build the house of God by the Spirit. You should put into the ark, which is a record of that covenant. The ark represented Christ. Okay, but it represented Christ and the tokens which were perishable, which should not make the conscience perfect yet. So you should put into the ark of the ark the testimony, the memorial and declaration of our conscience, okay, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus represents our conscience, so that we can enter into the bosom of our Father by His conscience, which is perfect. It's blameless. It's spotless. It's perfect. So now we are holy as God is holy. Okay, not on the merit of our own token, not on the merit of our aspiration, but on the merit of Jesus Christ. Okay, on the merit of Jesus Christ, we stand perfect before Him. Okay, so that the sacrifices which we are offering to Him, okay, is changing our soul, okay, into His image from glory to glory. You should put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you, which I, the Spirit, will give you. This represents me. That's what God is saying. This represents me until I come and fulfill it. Everything is going to be in its portions right now to show the presence of death. But when I come, I'm going to conquer sin and death. Okay, I'm going to conquer death by entering right through it. Okay, I'm going to enter right through it, being come in the form of the flesh. I will give myself willingly. Okay, and by this willingness, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. Now, there's the word mercy there. Now, the word mercy means God's act of involvement. My act of involvement will be with these sanctified tokens, so that you will know me. Every man shall know me from least to the greatest by this new priesthood. Okay, they shall not teach him anymore know the Lord. Okay, that is by the tokens of that first covenant. Because we cannot know him by the tokens of that first covenant. Because the tokens of the first covenant now are considered as the works of death. You cannot know the living God by the tokens of death. We only can know a living God by the token of himself, Jesus Christ. Now you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. Okay, underline the word pure gold there. His active involvement is with himself. What's interesting about this is we're going to see the ministry of angels. This is what the Apostle Paul brings out. Okay, and regarding the ministering spirits, are not all ministering spirits sent forth the minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? We are the heirs of salvation. He is preparing us for the great glory. Okay, with these great and precious promises, the Apostle Peter brings out, the chief Apostle Peter brings out the great and precious promises is by this divine power for the divine nature, okay, which gives us access into the bosom of our Father. Okay, so in verse 16, you shall put into the ark of the testimony, which I give you. I, the Spirit, will give you these tokens. Okay, and you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, okay, which represents that which goes through the fire. Okay. That's why we, by the power of God, will also be able to transform from the portions of water into the portions of fire. As Jesus did upon his resurrection, he transformed himself from portions of water to portions of fire. Nay, from water to fire. Now we see that's evident to the eye, as 500 people witnessed him ascending into heaven. As he ascended up into the sky, he got brighter and brighter as fire, and so as brighter than the sun. All right, and you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half should be in length thereof. Again, we see the 2 cubits and a half. Now, the number 2 represents the divine. Okay, but the divine is yet in a portion. So I'm going to put this portion of the divine into the divine, which is in a fullness, into a portion of a half. Okay, to teach you that this that which I'm giving you right now, still stands in the presence of death until Christ comes. 2 cubits and a half should be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. Okay, so you got 2.5 by 1.5, which equals 4. Okay, your healing is in my mercy. My mercy is in my tools. Okay, now verse 18. Now with this, look what he's joining to the mercy seat, his angels. You shall make 2 cherubs of gold. two cherubims of gold, because they are spirits. Okay, and this is an image of that spirit. Now, of beaten work shall you make them. Why is he going to make these of beaten work? Because the angels are going to assist us to our salvation through grace and suffering. Okay, by grace and suffering. Now, remember, these are the elements which he spoke of. Okay, that grace and suffering is necessary to teach us this temperance and long suffering, so that we gain the perspective of God. Okay, as we continue to endure, that we also in the third covenant, okay, will be long suffering with any token that's less than ourselves, as God is long suffering with us. See, we are less than Him. Okay, but Jesus represents us as our mediator. Okay, Jesus represents us as a mediator, so that God continues to engage with us as gods, okay, as being the offspring of the divine. Okay, beloved, now are ye the sons of God, the Apostle John said. It does not yet appear what we shall be, because we're still in the form of water. But it does not yet appear what we shall be, because we shall be as flame. Okay, and we receive a body of glory according to our works. Okay, God will assign a body of glory according to your dedication, according to the dedication of your works. If you sow little, you reap little. Okay, you sow much, you reap much. According to your fruit, so shall be your brightness. Okay, and God will reward each one of us according to our labor. Okay, so the more you apply yourself with these tools, see, the greater the benefit you're going to receive in the end. Okay, and not only in the very end, but also in the process of that. Okay, in the process of that, you're going to gain an increase in knowledge. You're going to increase in wisdom. You're going to abound in charity one to another, and your faith will increase. That's what you want, isn't it? Yes, you want your faith to increase. Okay. So the Apostle Paul gives us insight in order how your faith can be increased, so that you're not wandering and stumbling around as little children. Okay, but now you're receiving structure by this instruction through stewardship. Okay, so Moses gave them direction and structure. As a parent gives direction and structure to a child, so through the stewardship you receive structure and direction. Okay, the children of Israel receive structure and direction through the pattern which God gave to Moses. And Jesus gave us his record to also reveal to us structure and direction, so that we're not wandering around and stumbling, okay, outside the tabernacle where Satan is. Satan is outside the tabernacle. Now in verse 19, you should make one cherub, okay, on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. They're going to be facing each other, which shows the joining of the covenants. They're going to be facing each other. Okay, Jesus is going to bridge this, because between the faces of the cherubims, okay, the Shekinah took a form of an intense light, okay, like a blue intense light, okay, like like a sapphire stone, or the heavens in its clearness, okay, stood in an intense form of bright light right between the faces of the cherubim, okay, which shows that Jesus is going to join, okay, these covenants together, they in himself. As Jesus said of himself, I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Okay, I'm fulfilling these things in myself to make them perpetual, as I promised through Aaron and through Moses. When you see the words perpetual statute, when you see the word perpetual or everlasting in the old covenant, you can see that Christ would fulfill in himself. I make them perpetual in me. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm making them perpetual in me. They're going to come to an end when I come, as the cherubim faced each other. Okay, I'm right between them. I'm the bridge in this breach. Okay, and when a time of dissolution comes for that first covenant, I'm going to create a bridge there into the second covenant. Okay, whereas they will serve me in a new priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. So in verse 19, and make one cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end, that is in the mercy seat, which is like a covering or a cap, okay, upon the ark. And all right, and even in the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. Okay, which also represents the Alpha and Omega. Okay, and also when they're facing each other, also shows the eternal cycle, okay, of his plan, the Alpha and Omega, an eternal cycle, and his rest. Okay, there's a lot of symbolisms, types, and shadows within this. That the angels of the Lord will continue to assist us and sustain us to the times of our suffering and contradiction. Okay, the contradiction exists between the signature, okay, as well as also the covenant faith. So you might want to make a note on that. Okay, and when you see the word, he endured the contradiction of sinners. What was the contradiction of sinners? And regarding that Jesus would not be succumb, okay, to the signature, but rather walk by covenant faith. Okay, he wasn't going to work with the aspiration. Okay, the aspiration, the signature, but he's going to work with covenant faith. Okay, we endure the contradiction through covenant. Okay, as Jesus endured the contradiction. Okay, now verse 20 here. Okay, and the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, as also it says in Psalms 22, okay, and regarding the wings of the Lord. Or in Psalms, also in Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That, of course, that shadow is the shadow of his wings. Okay, which has to do with the covering of his light. The covering of his light is this knowledge in your priesthood. The secret place. Okay, these mysteries are made known by those that dwell in a secret place. God is unfolding these mysteries as a flower, okay, as a flower begins to unfold itself and release its fragrance, okay, the sweet fragrance. Also, the mystery of Christ is released to the knowledge of the stewardship. Okay, so that we, all partaking of that, rejoice. Okay, so that our rejoicing is a rejoicing in the Lord. As this is what Paul brings out. Rejoice in the Lord all, and again I say rejoice. Okay, we're all partaking of that sweet fragrance of the flower. This knowledge is unfolding itself as a mystery. Okay, we're seeing these things clearly as a mist arises, as the sun rises up in the day. The mist arises, the fog begins to dissipate. We see clearly through this knowledge. So the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one toward another, showing unity, equity, okay, in the Alpha and Omega. Okay, toward the mercy seat shall their faces of the cherubims be, showing respect to the Most High God. Okay, they're in service to Him as we are. Okay, and we go on verse 21 here, and you shall put the mercy seat above, as a lid now, upon the Ark of the Covenant, which is the record. So we see the witness and the record joined together. And this is what Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. And then he says, my Father and I are one. Okay, he that sees me sees my Father. That's what he told Philip. Have I been so long with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that sees me sees my Father also. Okay, those that walk by faith behold the face of the Lord. Okay, in the stewardship. Okay, the face of the Lord is seen in the knowledge. The face of the Lord is seen in the stewardship. Okay, and you should put the mercy seat above upon the ark, because my mercy is in his tools. The Father, okay, and the Son are joined together. The Father and the Son are joined together. Okay, as a record and a witness come together. Okay, now the record is provided for us to carry. Okay, and the witness is upon the record, which shows it's greater. And that's why Jesus says, my Father is greater than I, because I'm providing a record for you right now in the flesh. Okay, therefore, my Father is greater than I. And he's the one that is sustaining this power. He's the one that's doing these things, because of all the things that my Father shows me I do. I'm following a certain pattern, an invisible pattern. The carnal eye cannot see the invisible pattern, because Jesus says, all that the Father shows me I do. That which the Father reveals is invisible to the carnal eye. Okay, but even though it's invisible to the carnal eye, these are the things which I am doing. And the apostles were observing what he was doing. Okay. So they were observing what Jesus was doing, okay, which shows that this is the face of God. Now you should put the mercy seat above upon the ark. Okay. And in the ark you should put the testimony. Okay. The memorial and declaration of your conscience is in faith. Okay. Is in these things, in Jesus Christ. Okay. As you as we get ready here, make sure you get your sacrifices ready, okay, to offer them before the Lord here. Okay, so in verse 21 again, you shall put the mercy seat above upon the ark. Okay, again, the mercy seat. Notice he calls it a seat because it's a place of our rest. Okay, and if it's a place of our rest, we no longer labor. Okay, that is, we are no longer in the motion of the aspiration. Okay, but our activity is in laboring with the Spirit. Okay, as a lid upon the ark, as a witness and record are joined together, because inside the ark is a memorial and declaration of our conscience. Okay, this testimony of government, truth, and spirit. Without the stewardship, your faith has no direction. We can see that in a false religious system. Okay, those which are living under the shadow of the sixth week, okay, don't know the direction of the Spirit, not beholding the face of God, okay, they resist or speak evil of dignities. Okay, and this is what Jude and Peter both said that they would do. Okay, because they're trying to carry the tradition of the sixth week into the second eighth week. Okay, and you can't not carry the traditions of the fifth week, okay, into the first eighth week. Jesus says you can't put new wine into old wine skins. Okay, so the traditions of that sixth week are no longer valid. Okay, because we're now in the traditions of the second eighth week, okay, which God again is granting unto us a clarity. Okay, the clarity of the covenant and the renewing of the priesthood. You should put the mercy seat above upon the ark, which shows that the witness of God is superior in the ministry of angels. Okay, which must be understood by the church, okay, as Paul brings out in Colossians. Okay, and in the ark you should put the testimony that I, the Spirit, shall give you. Those that carry the yoke of the covenant shall have mercy. Those that carry the yoke of the covenant shall have mercy. So we are vessels of mercy. Now look at verse 22. This is really good. Because in verse 22 he says, there I'll meet with you. Our relationship, okay, is nurtured through the priesthood. Okay, we see that in the false religious system that they're trying to get God to capitulate to a promise of tithing, okay, or water baptism or communion. They want God to reciprocate and to submit or to confirm, okay, a promise of carnal things. And God says, my promise is not in death. My promise is in life. My promise is in these new tokens which I have given you since the day of Pentecost. I will meet with you where I will assign and sanctify to meet you, where we agree to meet. Okay, there I'll meet with you. And look at that, verse 22, commune. Community is a form of communication, exchange, fellowship. Okay, so behold, I stand at the door knock. Okay, if any man hear my voice, okay, I will come in and open a door. I will come in and I will sup on him, with him and he with me. Now this is the same thing that the Spirit revealed to the Apostle John. And the Apostle John communicated that to the church. God is communing with us now with a new covenant and a new priesthood with new knowledge, okay, that the old wineskins cannot bear. Okay, those, okay, the Pharisaical Christians of the sixth week, okay, still want to maintain the tradition and perspective of death. Okay, they will never come in covenant with God because they want to personalize and individualize the articles and elements of the gospel. Okay, they want to dig into the scriptures to find out all the knowledge about tongues or about the gifts or about healing or about prosperity. That's all they talk about. Not realizing that, well, why don't you come inside the covenant? Why don't you come inside the tabernacle? Why don't you put on the priestly vestments? Why don't you begin to offer the sacrifices on the altar of our Christ? Okay, there you will have all the things that you need. The gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy. I provided everything for you, okay, within these things, within these perimeters, within the temple, right, which is the temple of your soul. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, Paul said. And there I will meet with you, and I will commune with you, a form of communication, Revelation 3:20. Okay, the door of mercy, and communicate and commune with you from above the mercy seat. Yeah, the place of our rest from between the two cherubims, the activity of angels, the angel of righteousness, yeah, which are upon the ark of the testimony, which continues to oversee this record for our faith to be expressed with. The angel Lord oversees this record so that we do not transgress against God. Of all things that I will commune, that I will give you, notice the word there, I will give and command, commune, of all things that I, the Spirit, gives you. Okay. These are the things we're to be circumspect with. That which the Spirit gives us. Be accurate. Okay. Be circumspect in your priesthood. These tokens are where we will fellowship. With these tokens, we will commune. Our communion is that of the Holy Ghost, as Paul brings out in Corinthians, last chapter of Corinthians there. The communion of the Holy Ghost is this communion and fellowship of exchange, whereas we continue to dine on Him. We eat of His bread, this holy knowledge, okay, the truth which is consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. That's what truth means. That which is consistent with God's purpose, character, purpose, and plan. Okay, those three things must be found within the knowledge to be wholesome. Okay, and to be wholesome are those things which he speaks, which he does, okay, and of course, and the results of that. Okay, the three manifestations of truth are the same as that is of charity. So upon this pattern of your truth shall charity be expressed, okay, with these tokens. And I will give you, which I, the Spirit, will give you, verse 22 now, and we're going to complete this, which I will give you in a commandment unto the children of Israel. Okay, those of faith will receive it, and those of faith will reciprocate these things, where I will be their God, and they shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all. Amen.